Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today at the United Nations, Barack Obama was explaining why he's no longer Barack Obama. He was arguing that the Palestinians should not ask to be an independent state at the UN, and that's so weird compared to everything Barack Obama has said or done throughout his lifetime. Why would he betray his convictions in his policy, which is against the Judeo-Christian dominancy, whatever there has been of it in world history, and he advocates the oppressed against the oppressor. He advocates any group of people against America or against Israel, for example. So why would he say that the Palestinians and Mahmoud Abbas, they need to stop their plan to ask for statehood at the United Nations? And the only conceivable answer is that he's doing poorly with the Jewish vote. That's the only conceivable answer. And this is what politics becomes in a democracy or a republic. You could count on the vast majority of the successful leaders to put themselves first and their own career, their own best interest. And so you get policies based on what Republicans or Democrats think will get them into office or keep them into office. And so that is destructive, of course, to the well-being of the nation and of the world. So that happened at the UN today. That's the big story. And we'll get back to that and to what Obama has actually said. And of course, the belief is that the Jews have occupied Palestine, that they somehow invaded a foreign country and took over. And of course, there never was a country called Palestine to occupy. There just was not such a country. Also, what I'd like to talk about today, I was asked after yesterday's show, I made a comment about a megachurch in Denver and their Bible study yesterday morning, and how it was very consistent with one of the main teachings of Denver Bible Church and right here on Bob Inyart Live about judging. And this was so exciting, and a lot of Christians are coming around to realize that we've been misled by Hillary Clinton and other Christian teachers who say that we're not supposed to judge, that we've been misled. And it's so thrilling, although I'm not going to mention the pastor or the megachurch that this study was at yesterday. I'll tell you what was said, and then our own teaching here at Bob Inyart Live. By the way, our teachings on judging, well, you can get it from our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Judges, for example, and you could get it in our Nicer Than God Bible study. These are both available for instant download online, or we mail to you an MP3 CD. And our telethon, our goal is $20,000, and we're up to $4,700. So we're at 23% of our goal, 23%. Colorado Right to Life's banquet was a great success. So that's now passed. We don't have to spend a significant amount of time on every show urging people to go to the banquet. So hopefully those of you in the audience could help us and focus in on our telethon so that we could keep Bob Inyart Live on the internet, reaching out to people around the country and around the world for another year. Okay, so this morning, Barack Obama spoke to a general assembly at the United Nations in New York City in Manhattan. And we had a Bob Inyart Live man on the street reporter. Actually, he wasn't in the street, but he was there in the UN. Josh Craddock Welcome back to Bob and Your Live, Josh.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's an honor as always. Josh, you're a student at the King's College. You're right in the middle of it out there in New York City. And it's just great that you were at the UN to hear Barack Obama's speech in person. Could you give us your take?
Well, that's right. I'm working with PersonNID USA and some of its international outreaches. And so part of my job, I was at the UN opening of the General Assembly today, where all the heads of state gave their speeches and presentations to the world. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of attention given to it because President Obama was giving his speech and especially focusing on the Israel and Palestinian conflict. But he gave his speech, focused a lot on that, and also talked a little bit about the Arab Spring.
The Arab Spring, which we fear with others may become an Arab winter real soon, as the example of what happened in Cairo, where the Egyptian police stood by and let an Islamic mob tear down the Israeli embassy's high security wall and then breach the embassy and break into the embassy and wreak havoc. So
since the Arab Spring in Egypt, there's been sort of a souring of relationships between Egypt and Israel as well. So Israel isn't looking at the Arab Spring in too positive a light either.
Yeah. And so Barack Obama, it shocks a lot of his supporters, a lot of the people who put him in power. In fact, they're pretty angry at Barack Obama. They're angry at him because, well, for one, they say he's a warmonger. He wasn't happy with Bush's wars. He had to get us into another war in Libya. So he's got three wars going. And he seems to betray his liberal supporters in so many ways. And in this occasion, he's saying that, well, even though other Arabs in the region, he supports their fight for self-determination. He says, as far as the Palestinians go, you can't ask the UN to recognize you as an independent state. You have to talk with the Israelis, and you guys got to work it out between yourselves. So separate from the issue of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, there's Barack Obama and how he's playing this off. And it seems like he's doing it because he's hurting for the Jewish vote and he needs to shore up that part of the Democratic base.
Yeah, well, he started off his presidency and he talked about at the UN last year about how Palestine needs to have their own independent state. And that was going to be one of his big goals during his term as president. And, you know, he also made the comment about returning to pre-1967 borders for Israel, which I've heard that some, you know, what was their reply? It was they'll return to pre-1967 borders when Joe Biden goes back to his pre-1967 haircut.
Oh, right.
I think was their reply.
Right, right.
Go
ahead, Josh.
Well, I was just going to say there was all that hope, and now he is hurting from, you know, a very Democratic Jewish district here in New York just went Republican, and a lot of people have been saying that that's in direct response to some of his anti-Israel positions and comments, and so now he's swinging back the other way.
Right, and that was, of course, in Anthony Viner's district with the horrendous sex scandal that took him out of office. And so there are so many opportunities for conservatives and Christians, but it seems like the Democrats, they keep winning at, you know, national levels and state levels because of how atrocious the Republican Party often is. And if only the Republicans will stand strong for the principles that they claim, and if Christians will stand strong, Barack Obama should be easy to defeat, but the sad thing is the Republicans keep attacking their own base, whereas when MoveOn.org was the most extremist fringe of the Democratic Party, and they got their man in the White House because they refused to compromise, on the conservative Christian side, they think that the only way to win is to compromise, and so we end up losing even when we win.
That's right. And the sad thing is that when we compromise, we actually have We have a moral standard that we have to hold to. And so when we compromise, any compromise is a loss for us. Whereas when you look at the other side, any compromise, even any little compromise, is a victory for that side, because any distance that they can put between Christians and the right and Republicans and the principles, the moral principles that we have to hold to, is a victory for them. Any distance that they can put between us and our principles,
it's a victory. And that's why politics inherently is destructive of a Christian moral fabric behind society. And we should be engaged. We have to be engaged. We have to stand up for the Lord, what is right for our neighbor, for truth and justice. I mean, Jesus says in Matthew 23, judgment, you know, judgment, justice, these are the things you need to be doing. God cares a lot about justice, but this form of government we have, every time there's a compromise on God's enduring command, say, do not murder, that compromise benefits Satan, and it benefits those who want to undermine Jesus Christ and the principles of God. So compromise when it comes to right and wrong is never a victory for right. It's always a victory for evil.
Barack Obama also highlighted, he pushed for homosexual equality in his speech at the UN, and implied that we should be expanding what we've done here in America, you know, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell and such, legalizing gay marriage here in New York State, that sort of thing should be expanded globally.
And that, by the way, that is one of the key reasons why Arab nations and Muslim nations hate America, is because we try to export our sexual immorality to their kids, to their young people. And so there is a natural historical hatred because of the Islam-Christian contrast. And so when we try to force them to promote child killing through abortion and to force them to legalize and disseminate pornography, fornication, homosexuality, that just intensifies the Arab world and the Muslim world's hatred of America. And for Barack Obama not to be able to discern that, when he's sticking one finger in the eye of Muslims around the world, saying we're against the Palestinians asking for statehood, then he sticks his other finger in their other eye, saying, and we want you to promote sexual immorality to your children.
Yeah, it's a major problem. And I think it's something that the West owes an apology for to the rest of the world for exporting our immorality abroad.
Yeah. So, Josh, as far as Israel occupying Palestine, you know, this is a topic that I think you're probably familiar with because you attended Denver Bible Church for so many years. You're now out in New York City. But we talk about whether or not there was a Palestine country for Israel to occupy. And as we look back in history, it doesn't appear that there was such a country.
Yeah, there was never a country of Palestine. They've never had a constitution, a currency, as you've pointed out, no president or government. The Palestine was a British mandate before it was made into Israel. And before that, it was part of the Ottoman Empire that they had conquered from the Byzantines, who, you know, inherited from the Romans all the way back to the time of Jesus and Israel then.
Yeah. So as you just said, that there was no country named Palestine in the Middle East. If there was such a country, then what were its borders? And what was its constitution? Did it have a president or a monarchy? What kind of currency did it have? It didn't have any of these things. And in fact, the Arab language, Arabic, it doesn't have a letter P. There's no letter P. So you wouldn't have a country named starting with a letter that you don't pronounce. And Palestinians, they tend to say Palestine or Palestine, but not Palestine.
Doesn't that come from Philistine?
Well, that's exactly right. The Roman Emperor Hadrian named that region of the world, Palestine, after the Philistines. and you go way back to the time of King David 3,000 years ago when he battled Goliath. And so there were various ethnic tribes there, including the Jews. And God said to Abraham, I'm giving to your descendants all this land. But the story of the Bible is that the Jews did not obey God, just as Christians today in America don't obey God. That's the tragic story of the world. And because they did not, God said, I'm going to leave these peoples, whether they're Edomites or whether they're Moabites or Ammonites or Philistines or Girgashites, I'm going to leave these people in the land because I can't bless you with your land because you're rebelling against me. And so disobedience to God has long-term consequences, even eternal consequences. And so the history of the entire world to this very day in the UN with the whole world watching is a testimony to how crucial it is to obey God.
That's an important lesson to learn.
Yeah. So, Josh, pretty neat that you were there as history was being made. Not the greatest history, but it's history.
It is. It's important to know what's going on. Tomorrow I'll be back in the UN chambers in the General Assembly Hall to listen to Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who wants to wipe Israel off the map.
Yeah.
And develop the nuclear weapons program. So I'll be back there to listen to what he has to say.
In fact, Josh, speaking of wiping Israel off the map, back in 2004, I had on this show an Arab extremist, Hussein Ibish, who's a leading advocate for Palestine against Israel. And I made the point that Palestinian textbooks, even funded by U.S. foreign aid dollars, do not have maps of Israel. They have maps of the Middle East, and they omit Israel. And he said, that is not true, Mr. Enyart. That many years ago, that was true, but that is not true. And so you know what we did, Josh? We sent $200 over to purchase a brand new textbook from the West Bank, and we got it in Arabic, has maps of the Middle East, and no map of Israel.
Wow.
And that's with U.S. aid dollars. Hey, thanks so much for your call, Josh.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate your time and hope things go well for you there in New York City.
Thanks. I have one last question for you before I hang up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk today about what is a good solution for ending this violence that's been going on. First, as we were talking about, so many centuries between Palestinians and the Israelis, how would you answer those people? What would you say? A lot of talk has been given to a two-state solution or all these other ideas. Do you see any way to end the violence there, or is that just going to be part of the curse?
Good question, Josh. The Palestinians, they don't want a two-state solution. They want only one state, a Palestinian state. That's what happened back with the UN in 1947 after World War II. And more recently in the year 2000, way back in 47, the UN voted in their General Assembly, like you were at today, to partition Palestine into two states, one Jewish, the other Arab. They would have given more than half of that, like 55% or so of the land to the Jews, and the remaining part to the Arabs, and that's because they assumed many Jews were going to immigrate there after the horror of World War II. Well, the Israeli leadership agreed to the plan. Of course, they wanted more land, but they agreed, whereas the Palestinians and all their neighboring Arab states rejected the plan. The same thing happened again in the year 2000. My wife, Cheryl, suggested I read a great book that I've just finished now, Son of Hamas. It's the oldest son of Sheikh Hassan Yosef, who was one of the founders of Hamas. His name, the son, is the author of the book, Mossab Hassan Yosef. He recounts the history from the Camp David summit in the year 2000 when Israel agreed for the creation of a Palestinian state. with the support of the U.S., and that the Palestinians would get the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, they'd have their capital as East Jerusalem. And Mossad points out that's not what Hamas wanted. They preferred the conflict. They preferred the terrorist attacks. They didn't care that they were filling up their own cemeteries with Palestinian children and young men. They wanted to destroy Israel. So they didn't want, not in 1947, not in the year 2000, they didn't want a two-state solution. You know, typically Palestinian leaders, they say one thing in Arabic to their own people and another thing in English. So you have to look beyond the cliches they repeat to the CNN reporter there. And you got to look to their long-term commitment to the rejection of the existence of the state of Israel. So one thing in all that reality, one thing that should be done is the international community should not make excuses for Palestinian terrorism, all around bad behavior and living in their self-imposed misery. And Israel should not be punished for defending itself. And tragically, if America stood tall on principle after 9/11, there was an opportunity, there was a window to really turn terrorism around and remove it as a viable option for people who have disagreements. But we continue to give hundreds of millions of dollars to Yasser Arafat and Fatah and the Palestinian Authority as they were orchestrating and organizing terrorist attacks out of Arafat's headquarters, which has all now been fully corroborated. And so we lost the moral authority, and terrorism is part of the mindset and culture of Hamas and the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. And so this is an extraordinary crisis because so much of the Arab and Muslim world supports sending young Arab men and women into a pizza parlor or to a bus stop and blowing up men, women, and children. And so our recommendation after 9/11 here on Babinyurt Live was that America go to the oil exporting nations, OPEC, and the Arab nations and say, we're going to begin a 10-year program to become energy independent through building nuclear power plants in every state, another 100 nuclear power plants. And unless you guys defund and make terrorism unthinkable in your Arab and Muslim countries, we are going to do this as part of our national defense. And if we would have done something like that, the might of the Arab Muslim governments would have turned against terrorism for their own self-interest. But we didn't do that. We kept funding terrorists like Yasser Arafat, and we're 10 years further down the road, and it does seem like it's become an intractable problem.
Well, I think some of the people over at the UN need to hear some good insight from Babinyurt Live.
Well, thank you, Josh, and what an honor that that we have you as a resource to keep us up to date. Thanks, Josh Craddock. Okay, so now, our number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. We have had this discussion over the years about judging, and it was so neat that one of the elders of Denver Bible Church was invited to a weekly Bible study early in the morning before work, and it's at one of the city's mega churches in Denver. And the associate pastor, who's, you know, fully credentialed, stood up and said, now I'm going to talk today about something that many Christians will be shocked when they hear what I have to say. And what's interesting is one of our elders was invited by a coworker, because the coworker said, I think that what's taught at Denver Bible Church and Babinyurt Live, I don't think it's right biblically. You guys, you teach things that are not true. And so now we're not infallible, of course. So I wish I knew what our teachings that are false. I wish I knew what they were. It's very valuable information. But he said, so why don't you come to my church where we teach accurately from the Bible? And one of the signature teachings at Bob and Yurt Live is judging. And at Denver Bible Church, that we are supposed to judge. And that's one of the things that has angered many Christians. One of the top things that have made Christians think that we're not teaching biblically what the Lord taught, because we say you're supposed to judge. So this associate pastor of big church said, okay, here we go. And he actually taught three things, and all three things are exactly what we teach here at Bob and Yurt Live in Denver Bible Church. But the first one, and the thing he spent the most time on, was on judging. And he said, you guys have heard that we are not supposed to judge. He said, that's false. Even the very passage where Jesus is quoted saying, judge not, he said that very passage teaches us that we must judge. That was Jesus' point, but he said, don't judge like a hypocrite. And so we have our teachings going through the whole Bible. We have a Bible seminar called Nicer Than God that you could download, or I'd get the MP3 CD because the label is so cool. And we have a Bible teaching on forgiveness, DVD and audio. And we have Bible teaching going through the book of Proverbs, verse by verse. And then we have the plot, My Life's Work. This topic on judging is dealt with in the plot. And we have an article online. If you Google, should Christians judge or judge rightly, is not some guy's name. That's the name of our article on this subject. Judge rightly is not some guy's name. And if you just go to our website, kgov.com, click on writings, you'll find this, should Christians judge? And Jesus commanded men to judge rightly, and he told them, judge not. So what's going on there? Did the Lord contradict himself? Of course not. Truth is non-contradictory, and Jesus is truth. Well, maybe the Bible says more about judging than we realize. And it turns out that Jesus repeatedly taught us that we should judge. Very important. So you know what? We've got a caller. 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. We'll continue this judging discussion soon, but is this Nagid Ben Yosef?
Hello.
Hello, caller. Who's this?
Yes, I'm Nagid Ben Yosef from Walsenburg, Colorado.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Nagid.
I heard you talking about the Palestinian state, and I had something I wanted to contribute if I could.
Sure, please do.
Yes, sir. In 1999, I proposed a biblical alternative Palestinian state to the Israeli government and Israeli religious leaders.
Oh, really? All right. Tell us about it. We only have 2 minutes left, but tell us.
Okay. It's based on Zechariah chapter 9. I call it the Zechariah Plan.
All right.
If you'd like to read more about it, it's at www.torah-voice.org. And the plan is essentially very similar to the Cherokee removal. I'm the ambassador at large for the Central Band of Cherokee based out of Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
Oh, you are? Wow.
And the Cherokee removal removed thousands of Cherokees from their homes in Tennessee, North Carolina, and Georgia to reservations in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very inhumane and prolonged.
Right.
But the Central Band of Cherokee, through their principal chief, Joe Sitting Owl White, has proposed to the Israeli government a proposal where there would be simultaneous disengagement of Palestinians and Israelis from Judea Samaria, which is the former West Bank of the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan,
right,
to a contiguous state for the Palestinians, which is spelled out, alluded to in Zechariah chapter 9 as broadly defined by the Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron, which are modern Israeli cities.
Sure.
And there's been no effort to really look at an alternative.
Naguib, just recently we have heard from Jordan and other countries that they will not accept Palestinians being relocated into their countries. So
right.
Is that what your plan is suggesting?
Not at all. The contiguous state would be bound by Gaza, Ekron, Ashdod, and Ashkelon, which are modern Israeli cities.
It sounds like a narrow strip along the southern
coast.
Not
a narrow strip at all. It's a larger area than the Palestinians are wanting right now. Hmm. It encompasses the very fertile Shephelah Valley.
All right.
Again, this is alluded to in Zechariah chapter 9.
Well, since we're almost out of time, give us that website again real quickly.
www.torah-voice.org.
All right. Very good. Thank you. It's an honor to have you call. God bless you. And our website is kgov.com. Please help us with our telethon. And God bless.